everybody. Welcome to Sick Girls Pod. This is a show where we're talking about all things Sex and the City. And today we are continuing on our recap of season two of The Carrie Diaries, talking about episodes 4 and 5. And I am film critic Rachel Wagner, and Jax is here.
Yes, and I miss my Rachel. She was on the red carpet, South by Southwest. So we've texted, but I haven't seen you in a week.
Yeah, it feels longer than that. It really does. It feels too long. But yeah, I was at South by Southwest Film Festival, and that was pretty fun. Got to see some really good films. Got to cover the red carpet for Nat Geo special. it was a great experience. I was a little bit nervous going into it because I'd heard all these horror stories about long lines and other things like that, but I had a great time. I didn't have any problems, so yay.
And you were a pro.
I tried my best.
I can't wait to listen to all the stuff you got from it.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I have a friend editing that one. Because I wanted it to look really professional. So, yeah. Well, we're now in the middle of season two, Carrie Diaries, episode 4 and 5. And it's been kind of an interesting season so far.
Yeah, there is a lot happening in these two episodes.
Really? Yes. We're going to talk a lot about David Weaver and how we feel about him. But the first episode is called Borderline. And this is Carrie pitches Larissa a profile on New York wonderkind playwright Adam Weaver. But when he proves a difficult yet fascinating interview, Carrie's job is on the line. Bennett's rules in his relationship with Walt force Walt to acknowledge his real feelings. Carrie and Dorrit are surprised to find a common enemy in Tom's girlfriend, Deb's son, Dylan. And meanwhile, Sebastian seeks comfort in the arms of someone new. And I didn't know the dad's name. I didn't know.
What is the dad's name? We were just calling him the dad.
Tom, I guess his name is Tom. And I said David Weaver. I meant Adam Weaver. They just referred him as Weaver. Playwright. So yeah, he's the playwright.
Yes.
And written that down wrong. But yeah, overall, what do you think about this episode?
I thought this one was a lot of fun. I mean, I love this downtown theater scene. I think that having Carrie meet this playwright is a lot of fun. I also love getting to see New York City. McSworley's is a bar that I've been to with my dad and my sister. And even though my sister and I don't drink beer, it's an iconic bar. So it was really fun for me to get to see the New York nightlife in this. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. The whole thing with the son. Dylan, the whole thing with Dylan, that was a lot. I mean, I know he's supposed to be really annoying, but he succeeded.
It was a hard path. It's a no for me, dog, on him. I was just like, oh, I'm so uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was. And so what did we think about Weaver in this first episode, at least, that Adam Weaver, played by Chris Wood, is his name, and he's done some stuff since then. He's been on Supergirl. I guess he was on 47 episodes of Supergirl playing Mon-El, so I don't know who that is related. It's obviously related to Kara, but anyway, that's his big thing. He was also on The Vampire Diaries for 19 episodes, so pretty long run there. So he's kept pretty busy. I think he is extremely charming.
Oh, beyond. I mean, I didn't think that we could find someone that Carrie has as good of chemistry as she does with Sebastian. Like, I know you and I, Rachel, have both agreed that the back and forth with Sebastian is a lot, but that the two of them have incredible chemistry, and Austin Butler is such a good actor, and there's like a lot of fun to be had there. But my goodness, He is charming as all get out. And I love this character. I actually spent a lot of the episode being worried that she would do a write-up on him that would hurt him. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that she chose this relationship over the story. And I don't mean the sense like, oh, picking a boy over her career, but it wouldn't have been right to do this to someone, even if she wasn't interested in him romantically.
Well, yeah. And it also would be like starting off her career on a sour note, I think. Yeah. Yeah. That kind of reminds me of when I almost never write negative theater reviews, like really negative. Like I'll have, this could have been better. Like I went and saw a version of Rent last year where pretty much every single singer was off key. Like it was challenging, but I was still, I think, pretty nice. They were trying their hardest and what are you going to do? But so I'm pretty nice, but it just so happened that the first review that I did for Utah Theater Bloggers was a play that I hated and I thought was terrible. No disrespect to any of the actors. It was not about them. They did all a fine job. And I tried to say that in the review, but I really disliked this play. And so I was very harsh and I'm just thinking, this is such bad luck to start off my theater critic journey on this like really negative. But I don't know, it's just one of those ones that, well, they used the R word a lot talking about this autistic character. And also they made it, it's one of those stories where they make it seem like having a mental illness makes you scary. Like you might be attacked. He's dangerous. He's threatening, which I'm not saying that people can't be that way, but anybody, that's true of anybody. And the truth is that people on the spectrum are more likely to be victims rather than assaultants. So I was really offended by that. I just hated the play. So I was like, this is so like unlucky that me, who is like 99% of the time going to be like,
Well, to me, it sounds like it was irresponsible storytelling.
I certainly, I just did not enjoy it. It was also like roasting hot. This was in a black box theater. And it was, we're all just like sweating. Like it was so hot. I'm like, this is just a horrible experience. But I just felt like it was so unlucky to that. Yeah. My theater journey, me being such a champion of theater, local theater, that I would start with this play, you know. I feel like that's the same with
Cheers. Don't worry. You're like, I'm gonna like future ones. This is just not for me.
Yeah. And I feel like that's the same for Carrie with this, that if she had kind of taken the low road, that it would have just started her whole career off on this kind of sour note, that people wouldn't be able to trust her. And I don't know. It just wouldn't be a good way for a teenager to start off their career.
Yeah. And I think that it's so great to see Carrie in a relationship with another writer. I mean, I know that we talked about this with Berger, and while there were many problems with Berger, it was nice to see her having that banter.
That's a good comparison. He is kind of Berger-ish.
Yeah.
I would say we'll see how he ends up. But there are things about him that are kind of charming in that way.
Yep, for sure.
He also really reminds me of Chris Messina. And especially the Mindy Project, Chris Messina. So good.
Yeah, he's great.
So the other stuff going on with this episode, I thought this episode was a very strong fashion episode.
Oh my goodness.
A lot of really good looks.
Her dress when she goes to see the play.
Yes. Yeah, that was good. And then we have Bennett. He says that he tells Carrie, I will work any angle to get the interview. And so she's, you know, kind of struggling with that, but then she goes to see this play and it's taking us all very seriously. And she starts to laugh. Have you ever had that happen where you just get the giggles?
I get church giggles big time. I get Yeah, I get church giggles, and also like sometimes in acting class, that used to happen to me. And it's the worst when you're you're almost crying. Do you get that?
I haven't had it that often in theater, but when you brought up church giggles, that really brought up a memory. When I was on my mission, like we're supposed to be the examples to everybody. And there's this thing they like say, quiet dignity. You're supposed to have quiet dignity. Well, there was this one woman who was very strong personality, and she played the piano in the women's meeting that we have in basically in Sunday school. She plays the piano, and there's this one song, this old hymn, that starts with this like kind of preamble, like ding 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 ding, and this woman would like really play like she was at Carnegie Hall or something like that, like really big,
living in the moment.
Yeah. And so we had this cute, we had this woman who is a Chinese woman as one of our investigators at the time. She was very like sweet and kind and everything. And anyway, so this lady, she gets up there. And our little sweet investigator like jumped up on her chair. Like, and I was like, we have to leave right now because I'm gonna lose it. I just got thinking so bad. I was
like, I'm crying.
Yeah. It was so funny. I'm like, quiet dignity, quiet dignity, quiet dignity.
But in that moment, you're just like, it catches you unaware sometimes.
Yeah. That was
really, and there's nothing funny you can do to control it in the moment.
Yeah.
Ho, ho, ho. We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. It's the Hallmarkies Patreon.
Do you love Hallmarkies podcasts, especially at Christmas?
Do you enjoy the holiday previews, recaps, interviews, and bonus episodes?
If the answer is yes, please consider supporting the Hallmarkies Patreon. We need your help to do what we do both during the Christmas season and all year round.
But not only do you help a podcast led by strong, independent women by becoming a Patreon, you get to become a part of the Hallmarkies family.
Starting at only $2 a month as a patron, you will have access to our Facebook Patreon group where we talk about the movies, shows, and more all year.
We also have many monthly patron watch-alongs with guests like Lacey Chabert, Natalie Hall, Paul Campbell, Mary Lou Henner, and more, giving their behind-the-scenes details of their films.
As a patron, you also have the chance to provide input into the podcast and even join us at different tiers.
So this Christmas season, spread some cheer to the Hallmarkies Patreon and become a member today. You won't regret it.
Go to patreon.com/Hallmarkies to learn more.
That's patreon.com/Hallmarkies.
Oh, yeah. So that was funny. And so she starts talking to Weaver, and he actually he says, I love that you laughed. I thought I wanted people to laugh there, but people taking it so seriously.
Yeah, I thought this was a really cool thing, a commentary on art and stuff. And he's like, these people don't get it. They're trying to make something out of it that it isn't really. And he wanted to, you know, we all have unexpected reactions in the face of tragedy. And the fact that Carrie was talking about how she laughed at her mom's funeral, and she's talking about how the coffin's being lowered, but it wasn't a big enough hole and it was going thunk, thunk. And I think they really can share their grief together, even though we learn that Weaver's grief is kind of complicated because he did not have a great relationship with his brother.
Yeah. Yeah. They can definitely relate at least to going through trauma for sure. And then we have Carrie goes and gets drinks with Adam. And again, it is kind of strange that nobody like bats an eye about
her. No one's checking the ID.
Nobody in this alternate reality. We have Sebastian with this older woman. And yeah, Molly Sims is playing this woman, Vicky. And yeah, it's... I don't know. Not my favorite. He's the captain of bad decisions.
Yeah. It's just upsetting to watch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, it seems like this woman isn't even like questioning. She doesn't even care.
No. Yeah, I'm so uncomfortable with it because she's saying, oh, it's okay because, you know, my husband doesn't pay any attention to me. And maybe you could use that as an argument for why you would have an affair, but not why you would take advantage of a 16 or 17 year old kid. I mean, these are very different things. It's like, she doesn't even seem like she's having a moral reckoning with the fact that he is a teenager.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no like debate or anything. And then we learned that Adam's dad got really upset with him and he punched him in the face, which obviously is not upsetting trauma. And then they make out.
Yeah.
Adam and Carrie.
It looks like a good kiss.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, are we feeling almost, how do we feel with Adam and Carrie versus Sebastian and Carrie?
Oh my gosh. It's so tricky because Austin Butler is a phenomenal actor and I think they have incredible chemistry, but I do think given what they've been through and their miscommunications and lots of things, I'm actually very pleased to see Carrie with Weaver. Yeah, how do you feel?
Yeah. I mean, it's true. I do think they probably have more in common than Carrie and Sebastian. It feels more like the kind of person that she would be attracted to. I mean, everybody would be attracted to Sebastian, but as far as interests.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
what I am hating that I wanted to get your opinion on. Yeah, I do not like Maggie having a crush on Sebastian or that even like about to be a thing. I don't like it. It makes me like her less. I don't like it.
Well, especially after it just like ruined all of her friends, I don't feel like that would be even something she would consider.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
All right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
I mean, I think she's legitimately concerned about him when she sees him there with this woman. And I think she is kind of legitimately worried about him, but yeah, going beyond that, I think would be really foolish just for her peer group and everything else. But she's also the queen of bad decisions. So I guess it's makes some sense.
That is true.
So we have Deb coming over with Dylan, and boy, yeah, he was a lot. I mean, the thing about it is, so he sees the rubber, but I feel like someone his age wouldn't even know what that is.
Well,
I certainly wouldn't. What is he? He's 9, 10.
Yeah. It was interesting what we saw, which was at dinner, such an immature, 9-year-old to the point where he doesn't eat anything but tater tots. He's not looking at anyone, not trying to engage, and really being a brat and seeming very, very immature. And then this whole situation where he's like talking about going to rat them out for the rubber and like asking to see their JUGGS. I love how he spelled it he said it with two G's, jugs.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like the same character.
Yeah. I agree because I feel like most boys that age are like, ew, girls are gross and stuff like that. Like it's not, it didn't jibe with the, like you said, the same kid from dinner. And like, I certainly at 10 wouldn't have known what a rubber is.
Yeah.
And been able to like identify it from just the wrapper. That's for sure.
Yeah, the whole situation where he was asking to see them, I was, it made me feel really gross.
Yeah, I said, worst kid.
Oh, he's awful.
So then Deb is upset with Carrie and Dorrit, and she tells the dad that that he needs to like reprimand them. But in the meantime, he is on the phone with a client. He's taken on this very high maintenance client, and then Dylan gets on the line, and the dad lies about Dylan being his son. And so, you know, that's going to be a whole mess of trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, not that any, like in real life, of course you would just say that's just a guest, a visitor.
The house. Right. But
anyway.
I'm kind of like, bye-bye, Deb. Bye-bye, bad kid. We don't need you in our lives. I liked her originally. Like, I think I liked her a little bit more than you did, but the way she reacted to all this, they don't need that in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I see her point of saying like Carrie and Dorrit are both older. They're 14, 17, I think. So there's that, but that still doesn't excuse, you know, your child for being completely innocent in all this. So, yeah.
There was no accountability on her end.
Mm-hmm. So then we also have Walt going on a date with Blake. This guy Blake, and then Bennett gets very jealous of it all.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't even that into Blake, so I wasn't sure why.
It was the first date,
Yeah.
Yeah. So Bennett says he doesn't want Walt to go on a date with Blake, and Bennett says, "I want to be exclusive. I don't want you to go on a date with anyone except me," which was cute.
Yeah, that was cute.
That was cute.
Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by W Rated, the podcast where we willingly watch the world's worst rated movies. Join me, Daisy.
And me, Claire, as we break down the IMDb bottom 100, choosing a different film from the list every episode.
We take a deep dive into the plot, production, release, and reviews, usually with a special guest, to uncover if these films are truly as bad as everyone says they are.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple, Good Pods, and anywhere else you find your podcasts.
Adam's upset because his brother was like the perfect one. And he says his death made me, and I don't even miss him because of his brother's death. Like, he got opportunities and other things like that. He was kind of the new favorite son, sort of. And so he feels very guilty, and he says, "That makes me a monster, doesn't it?"
Yeah, it's really great to see him opening up to Carrie about really deep, difficult things, because I think that Sebastian had a hard time doing that, and Carrie craves that kind of intimacy.
Yeah, I mean, and they both can relate to that thing of the person that you love dying, and then like, how do you move on? How do you deal with it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she decides to not do the interview. And I feel like, while I agree that I think it's good that she decided not to do it, I do feel like there was probably some kind of middle ground at this point with the relationship with Adam, where you could talk about things like laughing at the inappropriate moment, or just talk about the play or his writing, where you wouldn't necessarily have to get into all this about the more personal stuff. I mean, I guess that's what Larissa wants, but Larissa is very upset with her for not getting the interview and frustrated.
Yeah, I agree. I think she could have very honestly been like, "Hey, I really like you. I won't write this if you don't want me to, because that's not what it's about anymore. But what could you give me so that I can give my boss something that she likes? And are you willing to work through this with me?" I totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah. And there could have been some midway point, and that would have still worked with the relationship, but but you know, they always, in these kinds of shows, it's always black or white, you know, there's never any middle ground.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, this one I would give I'd give it a 7.5.
Yeah, I'd probably give this one an 8.5. I love when she's having adventures in the city, and I love the sort of downtown theater scene. So I had a really good time with this one, but definitely a half a point off for Jugs.
Yeah. All right. So then we have episode 5. We have Too Close for Comfort. And this one is Carrie spends an exciting day in the city with playwright Adam Weaver. Samantha, who booked a new job as a nude art model, takes matters into her own hands when she sees a student painting she doesn't like. Sebastian finds support in surprising places when his mother announces she is marrying her tennis instructor boyfriend. Elsewhere, the attempts of Dorit's boyfriend to get closer to her dad backfire. Overall, what do you think of this one?
Well, this one was a big deal because Carrie lost her virginity. And I thought that that was an interesting, you know, really iconic moment for this TV series, because then she goes on to have a career talking all about her sex life.
Yeah.
I thought it was also a lot of fun for Carrie and Dorit's dad to be interacting with, well, Carrie's ex-boyfriend now and Dorit's boyfriend. I thought we got to see some really interesting, fun things going on there. Mm-hmm. And then just on the deeper side of things, we saw Carrie really wrestling with how she was going to let go and shut the door on her relationship with Sebastian. So some deeper things going on there too. So I really enjoyed this episode a lot. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I thought it was overall pretty good. I think it's a little surprising that they picked, even as charming as Weaver is, that they picked him, because I think he's in 4 episodes. You know, you just expect for that like monumental moment to be with, frankly, with Sebastian.
Yeah.
And so it's a little surprising, but I do think they had really good chemistry and, you know, you can feel it. I also do think it's a little weird, as we've talked about many times, that every single character in this show lost their virginity to an older person. Every single one.
Oh, right. I didn't even think about how old Weaver is.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I just assume he's got this play.
Yeah.
He's definitely over 18 for sure.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Like every single one. Mouse, Maggie.
Yeah.
Dorit. Sebastian. Probably they're all. Sebastian.
Yeah.
Just kind of weird.
Yeah.
We start out learning that Carrie's favorite Muppet is Gonzo. So I have to ask you, do you have a favorite Muppet?
Miss Piggy, hands down. I love her so much. What about you?
I do love the Muppets. Every year on my channel, Rachel's Reviews, I do Muppet May, and I've been doing now for years. So we're getting to like more obscure stuff, because it's been, I think this is the 6th year I've done it every week. So you should check that out coming up. But my favorite Muppet, I mean, I do love Big Bird, and if you're going the Sesame Street kind of era, but yeah, Miss Piggy. I love a Swedish Chef. That's one of my favorites.
Yes. So good.
So funny. I love the Muppets, but you can't go wrong with Miss Piggy. She's so funny.
She's so funny. I love how much she loves Kermit.
Yes. Well, and in with Gonzo, it's fun because he is in love with Camilla the chicken. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I did think it was fun to hear Carrie and Weaver talking about deep things and silly fun things.
Yeah.
Like, they just have a lot in common. They think the other person is endlessly fascinating, and that's really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I really liked that whole scene where they're at this big party. There's like the bed in the, cause it's like a studio apartment of some kind with a big party, and they're sitting on the bed and everybody kind of floats away. It's like they're the only two people in the room. And like, I've never really been in love, but like, it's definitely I've definitely had moments of connection with people where I felt like we were the only people in the room. And I feel like that's sort of the ideal, is that you get kind of lost in the moment with the person that you're talking to.
Yeah. And I like that they definitely put their emotional connection ahead of their physical one.
Yeah. Yeah. Which would be another kind of comparison in a way to Berger.
Yeah.
Because that was definitely more of an emotional, mental connection more. I mean, they were attracted to each other, but it was really them both being writers that was their connection. So we find out that Samantha is doing this nude modeling, and she sees all of the paintings, and one has a broken heart. And of course, you know, she's concerned about that. What did you think of Samantha in this?
I had a friend who used to, a guy friend that when he's an actor, and when he moved to New York, he was doing new modeling and he loved it. I thought, Samantha, number one, I respect her hustle of doing this job that she gets a lot of joy from, but also she's living at this art studio. And I thought it was interesting that she assumed that this broken heart was a judgment on her rather than a reflection of the person who painted it.
Mm-hmm.
And she does have that about herself, that she's self-conscious about it.
Yeah. Cause when she's finally with this guy, then she learns that it didn't have anything to do with her.
No. And I didn't think it did. I actually didn't think it did until she thought it did. I was like, oh, he's probably going through something, but she assumed it was about her.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom is actually a artist. I guess she a couple times a week, she goes for art training. She used to go every day before the pandemic. She has this whole studio at the house. And so she's gone to many sessions, you know, with people modeling and things like that. And it's all very respectable. And you know, it's how you learn. You got to learn how to capture the body if you're going to be a successful painter.
Yeah.
Or artist of any kind. So yeah, you kind of, it's kind of like when I was swimming in high school, like we got really, or even in open water, we get really used to the Speedos. It doesn't even like phase you after a while. It's not, cause it's not like sexual at all. You're just exercising. Like you're not.
Right.
Like it's just like I'd have pictures and with people and they would be like, oh, this is a Speedo order. I'm like, oh yeah, I guess it is. It's not, I'm not like attracted to them in those situations. We're just exercising and doing swimming. I think it's kind of the same thing with the painting.
Yeah. I think scenarios are quite important of the mind frame that you're in. And I mean, and Samantha certainly wants to sexualize this a bit, but it's not something that necessarily needs to be that way.
Well, I don't think that she wants to sexualize as far as like the modeling part of it, but as far as the, like, maybe she does a little bit because she's concerned when this person paints tragic Samantha.
Yeah.
I guess, but she doesn't see it as anything kind of scandalous. That's for
right.
Sure.
Yeah.
We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. It's the Hallmarkies Merch Store.
Are you looking for that perfect gift for the postable, hardy, or Hallmarkie in your life?
What about getting that t-shirt or hoodie that will help you stand out at your next holiday party?
Now is the time to check out the Hallmarkies Merch Store.
Full of festive designs by artists like Jessica Miller, Carrie from Hallmark Comics, and more.
You can even have more than just shirts, but totes, cell phone cases, notebooks, mugs, and more.
And it isn't just Hallmark. We have designs for Anna Green Gables, Man from Snowy River, The Nanny, and more.
Every purchase at the merch store goes to help support the podcast and allows us to make the great content you know and love.
There are frequent sales, so go to tpublic.com/stores/Hallmarkies or see the link in the description.
That's tpublic.com/stores/Hallmarkies.
So Carrie is debating about whether she should tell Weaver that she's a virgin. Then also that he's writing the play about his ex. So they kind of both have these kind of secret agendas a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understood why he didn't want to share his work, but I also understand why that made Carrie more paranoid. But then I thought the conversation that they have where he was like, oh, I'm not still in touch with her and have no desire to be, I thought was interesting because that illuminated a lot more, and then had Carrie thinking, well, maybe I shouldn't have promised Sebastian that I would go to his mom's wedding with him.
Yes. Yeah. So Sebastian's mom is getting married to this tennis instructor. So he says that he says to Carrie, I want to talk to your dad because of the situation. And he wants his mom to get this guy to sign a prenup. But the dad says, I'm not a family lawyer. And so I give you these recommendations, and they have kind of a nice moment together. And then it turns out the mom's not doing the prenup, and that's when Carrie agrees to go to the wedding.
I also really like how Tom said, I misjudged you. You were taken advantage of by your teacher. And I think that it's good to hear that acknowledgement.
Yeah. So then we also have that Miller has become the suffocator.
Oh, I know.
Poor Miller.
Actor. And Donna LaDonna called it out. She's like, girl, I see it. Donna was cracking me up in this episode.
Yes, because so Miller is getting like jealous of this nerd guy. He says he's hitting on Dorrit, and then he becomes like BFFs with her dad.
Yeah, just hanging out.
Yeah,
her dad invites him to sleep over because Miller is getting work done on his family home, and it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, and so she says that Miller curdled, that he was great until he curdled. And I guess for me, I don't even think that teens that young should be even having serious one-on-one relationships. Like, I would encourage, if it was my teenager, I would encourage them to group date. Yeah, if you want to have a boyfriend, girlfriend, like, that's fine. But like, this has gotten incredibly serious and physical and everything very fast. So that if I was a parent, I would be very concerned. My very young daughter, having this intense relationship, because where is it going to go? Like, what's the point? That's where I just, like, you're having these really grown up feelings and experiencing these really grown up things. And then what are you going to do with that? You know, like, I don't know. I feel like it's just asking for trouble.
Yeah. And I mean, it's interesting that maybe because of the way it accelerated so fast, it's like, Dorrit doesn't really seem to have any desire to work it out or anything like that either.
Yeah, she gives up on it pretty quick.
Yeah, it burned brightly and it went out quickly.
Yeah, so then we have Mouse being jealous. And then jealous of West making it into homecoming. With Donna, right? Yeah, Wes and Donna, homecoming queen and king.
They're not interested in each other, and I think Mouse knows that, and then he reassures her. But I think she also just feels like a nerd compared to him.
Yeah, I agree. That was cute.
Yeah,
and then we have that Weaver says it's okay if you're still, you know, communicating with your ex, but you wonder if that's really true. And then Weaver reads Carrie's journal, which is super rude.
I mean, I do like that he was so, I'm not excusing his behavior, but he was very apologetic, and I thought he was going to get mad about what he found, but instead he just wants to know more and was a little concerned. Definitely not cool, Weaver, especially because you know what it's like to have boundaries about your writing. But I understand that temptation.
You kind of wonder though, why did she bring her journal? Why didn't she just leave it at home?
Yeah.
But I guess they were trying to get the conflict, because now they've been together, she's lost her virginity to him, things are going really well. And then it's like, okay, you don't trust me. And we know that Carrie has major trust issues going even into the show.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
And so then Carrie forgets about Sebastian because she stays with Weaver. But I guess she calls Mouse, notifies her somehow.
She missed her train. So then I guess she calls Mouse to go and meet Sebastian so that someone can meet
him. That was very sweet. I liked that. That was nice. And so then West says to Mouse, says, there's no matter how many people like you, it's the quality of the relationships that matter, not the quantity.
Yeah. They're adorable.
Yeah, that's really cute. Really cute. Because there are some people that for some reason just really struggle in making friends.
Yeah.
I'd say like my mom has always kind of struggled to make friends. She's never been one of those people that's had like, I don't know, the knitting groups or the book clubs or whatever. Yeah. And then she has, you know, friends like you see. She's friendly, of course, and she's great, of course. But I don't know, there's just certain people who always have kind of a hive around them, and then other people that really struggle to make friends for some reason. And I don't know why that's the case. I mean, I've definitely am somebody who's always had kind of a hive around me.
Yeah.
I've always had a group of friends. I mean, that was probably one of the hardest things about the pandemic, was I didn't realize how much like seeing people at the movie screening, seeing people at church, seeing it, that kind of thing, like really did boost my spirits.
Yeah.
Because I work alone. I didn't think it would be that hard, but it was that hard. But even if you don't have like a lot of friends, it's the quality of the friends that really matter, because you know, that's where people, when you need somebody, they're going to be there for you. Just like with Mouse.
Yeah. And I think that it's great to see her and Wes connecting, because they have, again, it's sort of like Carrie with Weaver, where they have so much in common that it's not just an initial attraction. Like, you know, there's much more than that beneath the surface.
Yeah. Yeah. So there we go. That's this episode. I'd say this is a pretty strong episode. I didn't love the Dorrit stuff as much as, because it just felt like this is too much for this young of a character. That's the problem. And if she's really 14, I don't know. It's just too much to have these like super intense relationships. I don't feel like that's real for like 99% of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even my best friend, she married her high school sweetheart, but not 14.
14. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd still give this one maybe a 9. I think it's a really good episode.
Yeah, I'd probably give this one, I actually like the one before it a little bit better, so I'd probably give this one an 8, but I still think that like this duo of episodes was very strong.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let us know if you've seen these episodes, what you think. We'd love to hear your thoughts in the comment section or on Twitter. And you can find us at City Girls Pod on Twitter. And we try to post anything we hear about Sex and the City on there, so make sure you're following us. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. Check that out. And Jax, where can people find you?
Jacqueline C. Tweets on Twitter and Jacqueline Collier on Instagram.
Great. And make sure you're following Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast on social media. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave your ratings and reviews 5 stars. It really helps us a lot. And if you are watching on YouTube, please give the video a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We appreciate that so much. We also have our patron group, which is the best way that you can support the pod. It's only a couple of dollars a month, and you get watch alongs and weekly exclusive reviews and lots of other great benefits. So please take a look at that. And we also have the merch store where you can get City Girls Pod merch. So check that out. And thanks so much, everybody. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.